recall to me several heartfelt correspondences I have received over the past few weeks from proud parents of those graduating today. So please, because we just have a momentary pause here as I go on into my farewell speech to these graduates, please allow me to share some of my favorites with you. This one comes from a very proud parent. Dear Chancellor Gee, graduation will be a great day for our family. Our son had a remarkable experience at Vanderbilt, and we thank the faculty and staff for making it so. He's one of three children, all of whom have now graduated from college. I believe that every family should have at least three children. Then if one of them is a genius like our son, the other two can support him. Dear Dr. Gee, I'm absolutely delighted with the remarkable education my son received at Vanderbilt. It was a great experience for him and for our family. I have only one complaint. The whole educational system does seem unfair. You send your kids to college for 4 years, and what happens? Not only does it cost you $130,000, but you get the kid back as well. And this final note comes from a very lovely father whom I know. Dear Chancellor Gee, we are so very grateful for graduation day and that it has finally arrived. My wife and I, though, want to be fair about this. Vanderbilt's tuition may be high, but I figure any institution willing to take my son for 4 years deserves every penny it can get. Well, ladies and gentlemen, dear graduates and families and friends, happy Friday the 13th. How are you supposed to wish someone happy Friday the 13th? Happy discord and confusion and chaos? Here's to being a little off kilter all day. But indeed, what an auspicious occasion for holding a ceremony of passage. What a way to train ourselves to look for the current of humor in every situation, no matter how star-crossed or unbelievable it might seem. What a way for us to train ourselves to work with the world as it happens to be. What a way for us to train ourselves to use that slight imbalance, that asymmetry, that cockeyed quality to create something new. In a way, this date is singularly appropriate and almost necessary. For what a world, for what a history has happened in the past 4 years. The last time I addressed this class as one group, you were entering as undergraduates, and I was promising your parents that I would keep you safe. And one short month after that, New York and Washington, D.C. were attacked. 4 years of history is not a very long time at all, but that August now seems forever ago, and whether you have spent the past 4 years pursuing an undergraduate, graduate, or a professional degree, your time at college has become a capsule of a history that is different from anyone else's. At that moment, in that September, the world we, as we conceived of it, was tipped off its axis. This country lost its assured and trusting confidence, and the life of every American was divided into pre and post. But what was rent and torn on that day kept tearing, and unfortunately, our outlooks on the world have kept changing far beyond what our new situation required. So you graduate from Vanderbilt today not only into a world that is split, but into a country that is bitterly, woefully split. And because of that reason, and because I am supposed to valedict you into that fractured world, this speech has been a particularly difficult one to write. And this speech will be a dangerous one to give, because there is always the chance that someone who hears me will think I speak from a perspective that is coded blue or red, but I do not. I speak from a perspective that is humane, that is, I believe, for the best interests of our civilization. This speech is neither a red speech or a blue speech, but I give it because I am so deeply concerned with what I see on both sides, red and blue. You know, surely you may have overheard, because the volume of it is deafening, that there is in our present public discourse such an insane cacophony of voices which would capitalize on keeping this culture imbalanced, to make it no longer one culture, but separate and several, which would be more than happy to get you righteously riled up in return for your money and allegiance. Those voices belong to politicians, profiteers, and pundits, and they are all too intent on polarizing the population of this country for their own gain and their own desire to rule. We are in a phase of our history that is exceeding strange, and for better or worse, this phase has been our behest to you. And whether you ever would have chosen it or not, this class's special responsibility is to rework what has been deliberately unworked. What you have inherited by the stroke of fate, which would have you at university at exactly this moment in time, at this chaotic and discordant phase in our history is that you now are the ones whom it falls upon to reknit our shared culture, to reweave it back into whole cloth. It becomes your task to set things right, to find a new axis for balance, and the way which you find to do that will be the way you show the merit of your Vanderbilt diploma. Vanderbilt is a very special place, even among universities, because here we gain the habit of treating perspectives that differ from our own with honor, respect, and civility. We dread the intellectual and spiritual loss that would come if we did not accord dignity to the viewpoints of others. But such is not the case in our culture right now, and there are many extreme advocacies that would have you swayed into habits of confrontation. They would have you create a category of ideological enemy, and they would have you develop the reflex of decisively shutting down the voices of those who fit that category. They would encourage you to let aggression and defensive triumphalism become the rock rib of your relationship to others of all your political affiliations. Or they would have you succumb to the notion of yourself as victim and hope that you would allow that notion to figure into how you respond to all circumstances. Now, I have so much faith in your capabilities and your good sense, but the zeitgeist is a forceful gale indeed. Do not let it erode the habits you have learned. Please do not let yourself be blown off center. Do not let yourself be used. Do not let yourself be a useful tool in someone else's scheme for power and profit, for ratings, or for influence. Resist being a tool for those who would manipulate you to their own ends. Please do not choose to capitalize on keeping this country out of joint. For if you give into those temptations, then your diploma, your degree might as well be valueless. Our culture is currently caught up in the notion that if people are convinced of their own correctness, their ugliest behavior and feelings will be justified. But animus has little to recommend it in regard to improving any situation. Perhaps because Nashville is a capital city, we tend to be intensely political in this area. Even months after the election, I still see so many bumper stickers, both for the victorious party and for the party that is currently out of power. And although most of the stickers speak to convictions that are important, none of them seem to me to give any joy, because in your face is not joy, and nor is its opposite principled obstinacy. The stickers I see speak out of a sense of pride and a cocky supposition that perhaps they will be a bother to someone else. And while such advertisements are a means of expression, there is no chance of dialogue in them, only brand identification. The future of this nation and of this world are too important and delicate to be encompassed by stickers and branding or by a notion of being on teams and whose team prevails. The stakes are far too high for this to be a game. Consider for a moment this which I offer, that it may be possible for two people who have conflicting viewpoints both to be right. Consider that possibility for a moment, because one of the most amazing gifts of my work, one of the things that enthrall me and keep me in universities is the fact that I get to have so many different kinds of friends. I have friends who are outrageously radical conservatives, and I have some far-left pinko friends. I have friends who disagree with me, including my wife, on almost every issue. But I am so happy that I get to hear their ideas, because over time, their views polish and temper and refine my own. That would not be possible if I or if they thought like a bumper sticker. As hard as this is to believe, being correct can even be worse than being wrong if my sense of rectitude and righteousness divides me from others and makes me insensitive to them. What could be so terrifying about relinquishing the right if the reward of my doing and being so is the state of unity that arises from sensitivity to others? Our culture needs to discover this, that being angry all the time can dry out a person's heart. It can damage you, like stabbing yourself through the stomach to hurt someone standing behind you. The Buddha said, if you knew what your anger was doing to you, you would shun it like the worst of poisons. Sustained animosity dries out and warps the soul. Please do not entertain it, because it gives no happiness. At Vanderbilt, you have learned the habit of doubting, of being critical of everything. So if after you leave here, you find yourself starting to be worked up to a froth by agitators, apply the same critical skill to your own anger. Ask yourself, which of these is the better part? The part of yourself that is so concerned with someone else's being proven wrong in order for you to be proven right? Or the part of yourself that would rather have unity? I suspect that the better part of you is simply exhausted and disgusted, as I am, for oh, it wears me out with the continual name-calling and diminution of others that has become so much a part of our public discourse. Please, please, you can do something about that. And I do not expect you to do it for me, but for yourselves to weave together the kind of world you want to make. As one who would hold a Vanderbilt degree, you are not allowed to burn with hatred that goes nowhere and that does no one any good but only deals severance and pain. As one who holds a Vanderbilt degree, you cannot allow yourself the luxury of feeling negatively toward what you perceive as external to your heart. As one who holds a Vanderbilt degree, there cannot be an inside or outside to your heart, a you and I, only a we and us. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is you do not even have to adapt or change. You already are weavers. You already know how to be. All you have to do is continue as you have done here with a little extra emphasis, because in an ideologically divided culture, the spirit can get ragged more rapidly than it can at a university. You may need to add emphasis to your practice to draw support from inside yourself. Buddhism postulates that there are attitudes of the heart, stations of perceptions, which if cultivated can help us in our relationships in an imperfect world and with other imperfect people. They are called Brahman, Viharas, or the abodes of God. And the most important one in my view is called in Pali, Metta, which means loving kindness. To direct Metta, to direct friendly cooperative gentleness especially towards someone with whom we have expended conflict or think we cannot forgive or get over our fear of what they might do or may even resent brutally, is an incredible practice. For example, instead of using my powers to rig the system against former Slant editor David Barsley so that he never graduates, I can let him go freely about his business. For those of you who may not know, David has been a perennial thorn in my side by publicly declaring me deceased, among other affronts, and has made my life more delightful in the process. I'm so grateful to have had him as an annoyance and the fact that he's out of here. So I wish him well today. Our own minds can formulate so much to overcome, but the results of outwitting our justifications can be astonishing and transformative. One of the best examples of metta, loving kindness, occurred last year when Vanderbilt Students for Life paired with Vanderbilt feminists in order to educate the campus population about the reproductive options our students have available to them. They put aside their pride and their profound philosophical differences, wiped their agendas away, and in the process helped to dispel for themselves some myths each group held about the other. Two of those participants are graduating today from the School of Engineering and the College of Arts and Science, Laura Foles of Vanderbilt Students for Life and Catherine Christian of Vanderbilt Feminists. Our hat should go off to them. Their accomplishments was a practice of metta. They came together to support women in need, and their coming together for the Pregnancy Research Forum was an absolutely shining moment in this university's history. Continue, ladies and gentlemen, continue to defy category. Continue to surprise those who would put you in a neat demographic. Be insistently curious. Be like Diana Ree, who graduates today with a degree from Peabody, an officer in Vanderbilt Hillel, and an active member of our Interfaith Council, deeply rooted in her own faith, but intent on reaching out, deeply invested in teaching others, but also as invested in learning from them. Be like Joel Dillard, graduating today with a degree in chemistry, who stood on the steps of Kirkland Hall, my office over there, and quoted at me and at Vanderbilt's administration scriptural passages of justice and mercy in service of the Living Wage campaign. Defy category like that. Be brave and unexpected like that. Be like Joel and like his fellow activist members of LIVE, who are also graduating today, Jennifer Carlisle from Arts and Science and Liza Barley from Blair. Bees in people's bonnets, but good-natured, persistent, and insistent on raising awareness. Be like Freddie Ford, president of Sigma Chi, who 2 years ago rallied his fraternity to participate in a program that critically analyzed how media and advertising affect the self and body image of women. From Freddie's encouragement, 30 members of Sigma Chi stepped out of their comfort zone into deep dialogue and media analysis and emerged with a more thorough and humane understanding of the women in their lives. All of these students, and they are but examples of many others, undergraduate, graduate, and professional, reached across boundaries to solve problems and to educate, and that might have been their greatest success. And those efforts are what politics is, what community life is and should be, not screaming, talking heads, not the 24-hour recycling and aggravation of scandal in order to produce ratings. An active practice of meta involves the risk, if not of being wrong, at least of no longer being totally right. So many of our students are practicing of meta, whether they are aware of it or not. And what results from their cooperation and daring and their bravery is a campus culture that is even more liberated and transformed than it was when they arrived here. These students I have named to you do not stereotype others. Well, maybe Jennifer Carlisle did when she dressed as a rat that was supposed to be me, but that continued to persist to it. But they continued to persist to extend themselves to others, never thinking that they could not shift points of view, and they did, and they have. Ladies and gentlemen, I love commencements. I love these days because they are a singular occasion to give a last moment to Vanderbilt and a specific occasion to give voice to our university's mission in the world and what it means. They give me a chance to tell you how much I believe you are worthy of bearing with this mission. At this point, you must be thinking, he's hitting us over the head with all the talk about a poisonous political atmosphere at last year's commencement speech. He talked about Harry Potter. But I have to take that risk so that I can talk about Harry Potter to next year's graduating class with a light heart, not feeling as though I'm abjuring my higher responsibility. Consider this, then, my Friday the 13th gift to you. Graduates, as you enter this divided culture as independent and professionalized adults, please remember how blessed you have been to have had a university education, to have had the opportunity to learn the uniqueness and power of the other through a richness of dialogue, to take just a minute to reflect before responding to a question. What a kindness such habits are to others and to ourselves. Being subject to the disciplines of thought at a university trains us to learn to see when we are stuck in our own ways, when we cling so closely to our precious opinions that we gag our own ability to think clearly. Keep these disciplines of open mind and listening, but humanize them. Take them into your heart so that they are not only of the mind, but of the soul, not only how the mind processes, but how the heart perceives. When you catch yourself seething with frustration at the ideas and beliefs of others, ask yourself what part of you is doing that. And if that is really the best part of what you have, of what you can offer, of what you could be, of what you know you are capable of becoming. On this last day, when I can address you all together, please remember Vanderbilt's values of openness and civility. Please remember what this university is an example of, what you have been an example of in your time with us, what we have been able to accomplish here in our relationships with each other. Remember the times you were here that made you happiest, that made you feel the best. They were not the times when you were fighting. They were times when your heart was at peace and you could look upon others with forgiveness and be with them in ease. This kind of peace is the best ideal of a university, and that you are able to practice it is the best hope of those who supported you throughout your time here. So please, for a moment, allow me to address the others you have brought with you this day, your parents and your family, all of whom are seated out here, all your friends who are here with you and believe in you today, who have come on this day to share a sympathetic joy in your attainment. Your joy today is theirs. You have poured so much energy into your work, and they have poured so much energy into bringing you to this campus, to this diploma, to this day, that I do want and I do need to address them. So parents and family members, we have done our best. We have done our best to keep your young people safe from harm. We've done our best to assist them on their way to this bright morning. We have tried to do right by them and by you by believing in them. And we do, and I do. All of the earnestness of my speech comes out of the fact that I have witnessed their capabilities, their creativity, and powers of combination impress me to the point of astonishment. Over their time here at this university, they have transformed the Vanderbilt community. Our culture will bear their unique stamp for a long time, and now we turn to let them go. As I have watched my own daughter Rebecca grow and mature and serve her medical residency in Boston, I've grown to realize this much, that like a university student, our children do not just come for us, they come for this community. They come through us so that we may prepare them to be conduits of love on earth. Every measure of love we give them trains them to be generous with their own love. Every time we help them, we train them to be ready to assist others who may also need their help. And they will think in ways we may not expect or anticipate. They are for others, not for us. And the joy that we may feel in this realization may be a different joy than that to which we are accustomed. But it is a more expansive joy, I assure you, as wide as this blue May sky. I give these graduates back to you, only so you can again give them away to be claimed by something bigger. Thank you for placing in me and in Vanderbilt University your deepest trust that we would assist them in their growth in a way that would be not only to their own benefit, but to the benefit of all those who dwell in this world. Our Senior Day speaker, Shireen Abadi, has said universities are the home of those who have dedicated themselves to humanity. We are international by necessity and by custom. And as she has pointed out, the connection we make with other institutions will always bring peace forward by our exchange of students and professors, by our translation of books and languages, by our linking to each other over the internet, by our lighting a light so that all people may see the road in front of them. As you go into the world, you bear inside your heart the character of this university, the character of all universities, the connection it allows you to make with others in your inheritance. At Vanderbilt, we practice consistently to have many friends of different stripes, to weave and to braid and to unify, to make our university as we would like the world to be. Keep this character. Keep your light lit so that others can find their way. Be a weaver. Create a new capability in this world. Be of community and for community of the next community you find, and all others which you will encounter thereafter. God speed you on this remarkable journey.